Mr. President, we are on the threshold of conflict. President, we are on the edge of the battlefield. And I'm here, Mr. President, to implore my colleagues, be patient. Give pause before making the irrevocable decision to cross that threshold. The Constitution of the United States of America, in Article 1, Section 8, charges the Congress with the authority to declare war. With this awesome authority comes grave responsibility, and it is the Congress which directly represents the people. It is to the Congress that the people have delegated the power to decide the question of war and peace. Mr. President, half a world away, and beneath the cloudless skies of Arabia, two great armies stand face to face preparing for total war. For the moment, the guns stand silent, and the eyes of history are upon us. The decision to send our legions into combat to cross the threshold of conflict is a decision which is now entrusted to our care. And once we choose to take that fateful step, then and only then can the President of the United States perform his wartime function as Commander-in-Chief. Mr. President, 6 months ago, Saddam Hussein was a leader unknown to most Americans. Today, his deeds are known to all. He has captured our attention, sparked our outrage, and aroused our patriotism. He has dashed our hopes for a new world order and has awakened fears that disorder will follow from the breakup of Cold War alignments. Saddam Hussein has become the bully, the new bully on the block, brandishing his weapons of mass destruction as if they were toys and brutalizing those he claims to champion. And so the community of nations has been correct in his repudiation of Saddam Hussein and his wanton rape of Kuwait, because if left to stand, his conquest will provide an example to other countries whose despotic leaders harbor hidden designs on their neighbors or who seek the readjustment through intimidation of settled international borders. Mr. President, those who know me know that I'm not one to shrink from a fight or retreat from the field of battle. The defense of freedom, I believe, is a duty which falls to every individual who cherishes our way of life. My generation paid a terrible price to safeguard this nation, a price which tragically and unfortunately has been paid many times since. And so it is for this reason that I feel compelled to counsel caution as we move ever closer to the January 15th deadline. Mr. President, the power which the United States and our allies are now prepared to unleash against Iraqi forces is awesome. A devastating and humiliating defeat for Saddam Hussein can be the only possible outcome. At the same time, it is a tragic illusion to believe that the United States will not suffer casualties. Just how numerous those casualties will be is impossible to say. We are playing the numbers game, but please remember, behind each number is a human being with his loved ones. We owe it to our forces in the field, our young American men and women, to ensure that we have done everything possible to avert conflict before we ask them to make the supreme sacrifice. And importantly, we owe it to humanity to ensure that the terrible power of the United States and allied weaponry is not indiscriminately unleashed on the civilian population of Iraq, which is itself held hostage to the despotic rule and maniacal ambitions of Saddam Hussein. Mr. President, it is not a sign of weakness to refrain from the initiation of warfare while there is a reasonable hope that a peaceful outcome can be achieved. Mr. President, these are extraordinary times requiring patience, perseverance, and clear vision. There should be no doubt as to the justness of our cause or the firmness of our resolve. We are a nation that has long shed our blood to reverse the conquest and oppression of others, and I'm certain we will do so again. The invasion of weak states by the mighty will forever be a rallying cry for free peoples everywhere. The outrage which we in this chamber felt upon learning of Iraq's invasion on August the 2nd has since been shared by most nations of the world. And so we stand together to a reversal of these events at the earliest possible moment. My colleagues, the hour of action is nearly upon us. As the men and women of Operation Desert Shield gird for war, we at home must remain united, firm in our resolve to support them through the difficult weeks and months ahead. I believe that we should withhold our swords until it is clear beyond any reasonable doubt that economic and political sanctions will not work. But then, if Mesopotamia, the ancient cradle of civilization, must once again become a cauldron of conflict, then let it be for the principles which the countries of the United Nations reaffirmed in 12 Security Council resolutions. Let it be for the peace and stability of a region vital to American national interests. Mr. President, in years to come, Americans may be singing songs of glory about this war in the desert, but let it be forever remembered that many of those who did participate in that war may just remember pain, brutality, and ugliness.